Hello again, 'tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. We're speaking about grace again today. We've been doing a wee series on them, and just to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, let's say we mentioned that we are saved by grace. Yep, grace alone. If you start adding anything, just remind you, if you start adding anything to the grace of God to qualify you from heaven, you're missing it. We talked about the list man. Oh, you remember them? Oh yeah, people who give you a list of things you do and don't do to get acceptance with the Father. We'll be rubbish to all those. Look up those podcasts. They're all on my webpage, www.milesmckee.com. But a lovely scripture for you today. It's in Colossians 3:3. For, it says, for you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Oh, that's powerful. Unfortunately, we often read scriptures but don't think about them. For you are dead, your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's Colossians 3:3. Now, I'm going to speak today about being counted dead. In the Old Testament, the dedication of the first covenant, and do you remember that back then, Exodus 24, verse 8, and we can see it again confirmed in Hebrews in the New Testament, Hebrews 9:19. But when the priest sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice on the worshipper, that person was counted or reckoned as being dead. And so being dead, it was further reason that he had therefore paid the penalty of the broken law. The worshipper, it was considered, had died in the person of his substitute. Did you get that? In the person of his substitute. We are only saved because of the work of a substitute. Someone substituted for us and paid for us, became us, one of us, as us. And so long as the worshipper had not paid the death penalty, he was counted as unclean and unfit for God. But as soon as he had paid the death penalty, through the death of his substitute, he was reckoned as now being unsoiled. He was reckoned as now being fit for the Lord's service. So we really need to grasp the gracious gospel truth of Christ our substitute. During the American Civil War, the Union Army, that's the Northern Army, well, they sent out recruiters to get people to join the military, and they arrived at a particular home and demanded that the man of the house join the army immediately. And the man said, no, he says, I can't. Because I've already been killed in action. 2 years ago, I was killed in action. And as it turned out, a neighbor had signed a substitute volunteer paper and had gone to war in this man's place. And he got killed. It was legal, it was all done legally. And since the substitute had died, he had been killed, the man that the army had wanted to recruit was now reckoned as himself being killed. Killed in action. And he therefore did not have to go to war because he'd already been there and had died in the person of a substitute. You say, well, that's not fair. Woohoo! Let me tell you what, that's why we're saved. Because we had a substitute who went and died in our place. He obeyed in our place. He died in our place. He rose again in our place. He's seated, and we're seated in him. Ah, yeah. Because of the work of the Lord Jesus, our substitute, we are reckoned as having already been punished for our sins. Isaiah 53:5. Oh, yeah, look. I know we weren't physically punished at the cross, but legally we were. Legally. Romans 4:25. When Christ hung upon the cross, we legally hung there with him. His death was our death. His punishment was our punishment. And we are now cleansed by his blood, which is another way of saying we've been made partakers of the death of Christ. The blood of Christ cleanses us, not by washing us like a body wash, but by totally and graciously identifying us with the death of our substitute. We were once covered and saturated entirely with guilt and under the sentence of death, but our substitute, the Lord Jesus, shed his blood. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 26:28. In God's eyes, that blood represents both his death and ours. He died as our substitute. The blood is shed for us. And in that way, death, which is the law's penalty, is reckoned legally to us. Legally, we have died. We have been crucified with Christ. You've read that. You've heard that. We are legally reckoned to have died. We are legally reckoned to have been punished for our sins. This is not good news. Oh, we are cleansed. Christ has undergone the death sentence, and as a result, our guilt has passed away. We are cleansed. The flames of the lake of fire have been doused for us with the blood of Jesus. Oh, this is good news. Good news that we can live in. And furthermore, are you listening? Our sin is taken away, and Christ's righteousness is reckoned to us in its place. You can see that his righteousness is ours in Philippians 3:9. This is how the believer makes use of the blood of Christ. Faith simply embraces and enjoys what the blood has already accomplished. And at the cross, Jesus was treated as having our sins. He was reckoned as the greatest sinner, the greatest rebel who had ever existed. All our sins were put on him. And we know this, but have we ever really stopped, paused to think about what it means? What does it mean that all his sins, what's as a result of all our sins being put on him? What does it mean? Well, it means that all our blasphemies and adulteries were reckoned as his. That's grace. It means that since Christ paid our debt, we don't owe it. That's grace. It means he took responsibility for all our lying, thieving, fornications, murders, bitterness, unrighteousness, anger, unrighteous anger, I should say. That's all grace. And it means that the shedding of blood was awful for him, but it was wonderful for us because of grace. Old Martin Luther, don't agree with everything the man said, but listen, he said this. He wrote to a friend saying, "Learn to know Christ and him crucified. Learn to sing to him and say, 'Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness and I am your sin. You have taken upon yourself what is mine and given me what is yours. You became what you were not, so that I might become what I was not.'" That was Luther, wrote that to a fellow called George Spenlein. Look, believing God's testimony concerning the shed blood of Jesus identifies us with Jesus in his death. Now, because the blood has been applied to us, we are legally counted as being those who have paid the penalty of disobeying God's requirements and demands. This is what is meant by being washed in his blood. This is good news from the good news. This news tells us not what we have to do to be saved, oh no, but it tells us what Christ Jesus has already done to save us. Let's be clear on this. Only that which God has accomplished in Christ on our behalf can save us eternally. Check it out, Ephesians 1:7, Ephesians 2:13. We need to learn that the gospel is much more than a revelation of the heart of God in Christ. Well, it is that. Yes, it is. But it's more. It's much more. It's also the revelation of the righteousness of God. Romans 1:17. The gospel is the revelation of righteous grace. And it is this revelation that makes it possible This revelation makes it, if it were possible, the gospel to be even more powerful. It can't be more powerful, but it's amazing that Christ poured out his blood as the sinner's substitute is God's declaration that his love will not compromise his justice. And in the gospel, the broken law and the love of God are brought together. Yeah, and the broken law and our love, they're brought together, the love of God and the broken law. Our sin is condemned and judged righteously in the person of our substitute. And we are acquitted, declared not guilty. Romans 8:33. Our sin has been taken away, John 1:29. Our past, present, and future are forever under the blood. Now listen to me. Sin cannot be in two places at the one time. Say that. Sin cannot be in two places at the one time. If it is laid on Jesus, it's taken off us. And our sin is gone forever because Christ has taken our iniquities and carried them away where they will never be mentioned against us again. This is an amazing truth from the gospel. Old Charles Spurgeon, you know, he's one of my favorite preachers. He put it this way. Oh, what a blessed truth is this. If a man who has been blind for 50 years could have his eyes opened and could be taken out to see the stars or to look up to the sun, how he would clap his hands and cry, what a wondrous sight is this. And I know that when I first perceived that Christ stood in my place and that I stood in his place, that I was accepted because he was rejected, that I was beloved because he endured his father's wrath on my account, oh, my soul felt as if it had never lived before and had never known anything that was worth knowing till it perceived that wondrous truth. That's from a sermon 2840. Laying hands on the substitute. Great sermon. You should read it sometime. Do you know anything about this, about Jesus being your substitute? Or are you relying on the fact that you asked Jesus into your heart and you think you're safe because you did that? Oh, that's dangerous ground. Is Jesus your substitute? Did he die in your place? Can you confess that? Can you declare it? That his righteousness is yours. He is my righteousness. I am his sin. Can you say that? May the Lord help you to do that. So listen, be sure of this. God will not deal favorably with people who slight or scorn the blood. God is unchangeable on this point, for the honor of the Son is involved. The blood of the gospel is God's blood. Acts 20:28. And so it is not difficult to see why God is inflexible on this matter. If you rubbish the blood, stand clear, lads. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus is the blood of he who is the brightness of Yahweh's glory and the express image of his person, Hebrews 1:3, the express image of his substance. How then is it possible that he can overlook all affronts and continued indifference to the blood? Hebrews 10:29. He can't. That's the simple answer. He can't. So it's sensible not to quarrel with God about the blood. It's not wise to call God absurd in this matter of salvation in Christ alone. His infinite wisdom has arranged that Christ would pour out his blood to pay the debt incurred by his bride. And if you reject the blood of the Lord Jesus, you reject Christ. Reject Christ and you reject God himself. Check it out, John 13:20. John 13:20. So let's say it again. Because the blood has been applied to us, we are legally counted as being those who have paid the penalty of disobeying God's requirements and demands. But because of the blood, we have the grace of God. And we're living in the grace of God. Every believer is. And that is the gospel truth. If you'd like more on this subject, I have a book on it. It's called Gospel Truth About Living in Grace. You can find it on Amazon. D.G. Miles McKee on Amazon. Okay, listen, may the Lord bless you. If I can help you in any way, spiritually, email me, miles@milesmckee.com. miles@milesmckee.com. Hey, we've got a Facebook group called Gospel Truth! Got over 700 members now. But we post just gospel, 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 finished work truth. Why don't you go ahead and join? It's free to join. And check out my website, www.milesmckee.com. May the Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello again. Tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. We're speaking about grace again today. We've been doing a wee series on them, and just to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, let's say we mention that we are saved by grace. Yep, grace alone. If you start adding anything, just remind you, if you start adding anything to the grace of God to qualify you from heaven, you're missing it. We talked about the list. Man, oh, you remember them? Oh, yeah, people who give you a list of things you do and don't do to get acceptance with the Father. We'll be rubbished all those. Look up those podcasts. They're all on my webpage, www.milesmckee.com. But a lovely scripture for you today. It's in Colossians 3:3. For, it says, for you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Oh, that's powerful. Unfortunately, we often read scriptures but don't think about them. For you are dead, your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's Colossians 3:3. Now, I'm going to speak today about being counted dead. In the Old Testament, the dedication of the first covenant, and do you remember that back then, Exodus 24, verse 8, and we can see it again confirmed in Hebrews in the New Testament, Hebrews 9:19. But when the priest sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice on the worshipper, that person was counted or reckoned as being dead. And so being dead, it was further reason that he had therefore paid the penalty of the broken law. The worshipper, it was considered, had died in the person of his substitute. Did you get that? In the person of his substitute. We are only saved because of the work of a substitute. Someone substituted for us and paid for us. Became us, one of us, as us. And so long as the worshipper had not paid the death penalty, he was counted as unclean and unfit for God. But as soon as he had paid the death penalty, through the death of his substitute, he was reckoned as now being unsoiled. He was reckoned as now being fit for the Lord's service. So we really need to grasp the gracious gospel truth of Christ our substitute. During the American Civil War, the Union Army, that's the Northern Army, well, they sent out recruiters to get people to join the military, and they arrived at a particular home and demanded that the man of the house join the army immediately. And the man said, no, he says, I can't, because I've already been killed in action. 2 years ago, I was killed in action. And as it turned out, a neighbor had signed a substitute volunteer paper and had gone to war in this man's place. And he got killed. It was legal, Zaldon legally, and since the substitute had died, he had been killed. The man that the army had wanted to recruit was now reckoned as himself being killed. Killed in action. And he therefore did not have to go to war because he'd already been there and had died in the person of a substitute. You say, well, that's not fair. Woohoo! Let me tell you what, that's why we're saved. Because we had a substitute who went and died in our place. He obeyed in our place. He died in our place. He rose again in our place. He's seated, and we're seated in him. Ah, yeah. Because of the work of the Lord Jesus, our substitute, we are reckoned as having already been punished for our sins. Isaiah 53:5. Oh, yeah, look. I know we weren't physically punished at the cross, but legally we were. Legally. Romans 4:25. When Christ hung upon the cross, we legally hung there with him. His death was our death. His punishment was our punishment. And we are now cleansed by his blood, which is another way of saying we've been made partakers of the death of Christ. The blood of Christ cleanses us, not by washing us like a body wash, but by totally and graciously identifying us with the death of our substitute. We were once covered and saturated entirely with guilt and under the sentence of death, but our substitute, the Lord Jesus, shed his blood. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 26:28. In God's eyes, that blood represents both his death and ours. He died as our substitute. The blood is shed for us. And in that way, death, which is the law's penalty, is reckoned legally to us. Legally, we have died. We have been crucified with Christ. You've read that. You've heard that. We are legally reckoned to have died. We are legally reckoned to have been punished for our sins. This is not good news. Oh, we are cleansed. Christ has undergone the death sentence, and as a result, our guilt has passed away. We are cleansed. The flames of the lake of fire have been doused for us with the blood of Jesus. Oh, this is good news. Good news that we can live in. And furthermore, are you listening? Our sin is taken away, and Christ's righteousness is reckoned to us in its place. You can see that his righteousness is ours in Philippians 3:9. This is how the believer makes use of the blood of Christ. Faith simply embraces and enjoys what the blood has already accomplished. And at the cross, Jesus was treated as having our sins. He was reckoned as the greatest sinner, the greatest rebel who had ever existed. All our sins were put on him. And we know this, but have we ever really stopped, paused to think about what it means? What does it mean that all his sins, what's as a result of all our sins being put on him, what does it mean? Well, it means that all our blasphemies and adulteries were reckoned as his. That's grace. It means that since Christ paid our debt, we don't owe it. That's grace. It means he took responsibility for all our lying, thieving, fornications, murders, bitterness, unrighteousness, anger, unrighteous anger, I should say. That's all grace. And it means that the shedding of blood was awful for him, but it was wonderful for us because of grace. Old Martin Luther, don't agree with everything the man said, but listen, he said this. He wrote to a friend saying, learn to know Christ and him crucified. Learn to sing to him and say, Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness and I am your sin. You have taken upon yourself what is mine and given me what is yours. You became what you were not, so that I might become what I was not. That was Luther, wrote that to a fellow called George Spenlein. Look, believing God's testimony concerning the shed blood of Jesus identifies us with Jesus in his death. Now, because the blood has been applied to us, we are legally counted as being those who have paid the penalty of disobeying God's requirements and demands. This is what is meant by being washed in his blood. This is good news from the good news. This news tells us not what we have to do to be saved, oh no, but it tells us what Christ Jesus has already done to save us. Let's be clear on this. Only that which God has accomplished in Christ on our behalf can save us eternally. Check it out, Ephesians 1, 7, Ephesians 2, 13. We need to learn that the gospel is much more than a revelation of the heart of God in Christ. Well, it is that. Yes, it is. But it's more. It's much more. It's also the revelation of the righteousness of God. Romans 1, 17. The gospel is the revelation of righteous grace. And it is this revelation that makes it possible This revelation makes it, if it were possible, the gospel to be even more powerful. It can't be more powerful, but it's amazing that Christ poured out his blood as the sinner's substitute is God's declaration that his love will not compromise his justice. And in the gospel, the broken law and the love of God are brought together. Yeah, and the broken law and our love, they're brought together, the love of God and the broken law. Our sin is condemned and judged righteously in the person of our substitute, and we are acquitted, declared not guilty. Romans 8:33. Our sin has been taken away, John 1:29. Our past, present, and future are forever under the blood. Now listen to me. Sin cannot be in two places at the one time. Say that. Sin cannot be in two places at the one time. If it is laid on Jesus, it's taken off us. And our sin is gone forever because Christ has taken our iniquities and carried them away where they will never be mentioned against us again. This is an amazing truth from the gospel. Old Charles Spurgeon, you know, he's one of my favorite preachers. He put it this way. Oh, what a blessed truth is this. If a man who has been blind for 50 years could have his eyes opened and could be taken out to see the stars or to look up to the sun, how he would clap his hands and cry, what a wondrous sight is this. And I know that when I first perceived that Christ stood in my place and that I stood in his place, that I was accepted because he was rejected, that I was beloved because he endured his father's wrath on my account, oh, my soul felt as if it had never lived before and had never known anything that was worth knowing till it perceived that wondrous truth. That's from a sermon 2840. Laying hands on the substitute. Great sermon. You should read it sometime. Do you know anything about this, about Jesus being your substitute? Or are you relying on the fact that you asked Jesus into your heart and you think you're safe because you did that? Oh, that's dangerous ground. Is Jesus your substitute? Did he die in your place? Can you confess that? Can you declare it? That his righteousness is yours. He is my righteousness. I am his sin. Can you say that? May the Lord help you to do that. So listen, be sure of this. God will not deal favorably with people who slight or scorn the blood. God is unchangeable on this point, for the honor of the Son is involved. The blood of the gospel is God's blood. Acts 20:28. And so it is not difficult to see why God is inflexible on this matter. If you rubbish the blood, whoa! Stand clear, lads. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus is the blood of He who is the brightness of Yahweh's glory and the express image of His person, Hebrews 1:3, the express image of His substance. How then is it possible that He can overlook all affronts and continued indifference to the blood? Hebrews 10:29. He can't. That's the simple answer. He can't. So it's sensible not to quarrel with God about the blood. It's not wise to call God absurd in this matter of salvation in Christ alone. His infinite wisdom has arranged that Christ would pour out His blood to pay the debt incurred by His bride. And if you reject the blood of the Lord Jesus, you reject Christ. Reject Christ and you reject God Himself. Check it out, John 13:20. John 13:20. So let's say it again. Because the blood has been applied to us, we are legally counted as being those who have paid the penalty of disobeying God's requirements and demands. But because of the blood, we have the grace of God. And we're living in the grace of God. Every believer is. And that is the gospel truth. If you'd like more on this subject, I have a book on it. It's called Gospel Truth About Living in Grace. You can find it on Amazon. D.G. Miles McKee on Amazon. Okay, listen, may the Lord bless you. If I can help you in any way, spiritually, email me, miles@milesmckee.com. miles@milesmckee.com. Hey, we've got a Facebook group called Gospel Truth! Got over 700 members now. But we post just gospel, 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 finished work truth. Why don't you go ahead and join? It's free to join. And check out my website, www.milesmckee.com. May the Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.